Today you'll learn how we think about aging and also how we age ourselves. Now, plus simple upgrades. Let me do this over again. Hold on one second. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Okay, so 1, 2, 3. Today you'll learn how we think about aging changes and how we age, plus simple little upgrades to sleep, stress, and vision that will boost energy and also resilience at any age. Now, stay tuned for the end of this show, and you're going to find out 5 things that you can start this week on. Now, if this helps, follow the advisor with Stacey Chalemi on Apple, Spotify, and subscribe on YouTube at Stacey Chalemi Advisor and drop a 5-star review so more people find it. Now, today I have a very special guest on the show. She also has her own podcast on the show, and she is just an amazing woman. She is a specialist when it comes to hormones. She is a nurse, and she is just amazing. She helps to coach women and help people rewire their mindset, restore sleep, and design a vibrant next chapter. And I am so excited to have you on the show today, Helen. You are just amazing. I get so excited every time I talk to you because you just talk about the things that I love. You talk about revitalizing, people's lives, changing their lives, and many women especially, they think that because, you get to a certain age and our hormones start to fluctuate and change, that we just have to deal with it, But before we get into that, I want you to say a little hello to everybody and tell everybody a little about yourself in case they just haven't, seen you yet, and just let it all out, girlfriend.
Yeah, thank you, Stacy. I'm so excited to be back here and chatting with you. We've always had such a good time. I agree with you. Both passionate about women's health and care and really managing the symptoms that happen to us during midlife. And so, yes, I love, love, love to treat midlife women. So, I'm a board certified nurse practitioner with a certification as well in menopause from the Menopause Society. And I am in Southern California. I'm licensed so far just to treat in California, but definitely open to expanding my practice. And yeah, I specialize in hormone therapy, non-hormonal medications, if maybe you aren't a candidate or not interested in hormones, supplements. I have my few non-negotiables, and then lifestyle management, of course, because hormones are amazing, but they aren't going to do all the work for you. So,
100%. I love it. Now, you say mindset about aging really matters. Like in plain English, how does the story that we tell ourselves show up in our bodies and our choices?
So this is actually astounding and a really important principle to build into your life, because many women that I've talked to, including myself in the past or my best friends, right? Sometimes we act like the best part of our life is behind us. And we're like, oh, the good old days when I was like young or beautiful, or I could do this or that. And it automatically makes it sound like everything is downhill from here, right? Whereas actually, the science and the evidence shows that that's not true. Like, aging doesn't have to mean decline. Things that are common do not need to be normal. So the things, the frailty, right? The dementia, the weakness, these do not have to happen. And I hear this over and over with patients is like, oh, I guess this is just aging. And I'm like, dude, like, you're in your 50s. Like, this is not like, no. And mindset, there's incredible science that actually shows very strongly the data that the mindset we have about aging really influences how long and how well we age. That is profound, right? We can add years to our life just by how positively we view aging.
Yes, that blows my mind, and
I
there's
know,
so
me too.
much evidence, and it's just like it's outstanding how powerful the mind really is. Now, what beliefs about aging quietly speed up decline, and what beliefs protect us?
Yeah. So the ones that would speed up decline, right, are the ones that I kind of said before, oh, it's all downhill from here. There's nothing I can do to help myself or change this or that. Like, in truth, Stacy, it is never too late to make changes in our life. There are some really powerful, inspiring people out there who have like started working out in their 60s or 70s and are now just these badass women and men too, right? But since we're focusing on women, absolutely incredible. So a strong belief in your own aging process, that it can bring grace and strength and wisdom and a trust in our own experience. These are beautiful, powerful things. I mean, who of us really wants to go back to be 20 or 21 years old? No, thank you. Like, I love the confidence I've built in myself. I love the wisdom and experience that comes with being in my late 40s now, right? One of my best friends was like, I was out at dinner with her the other week, and she's just like, I can't wait to turn 50, right? Like, and I just loved it. I was like, yes, this is the mindset. Like, the best years are in front of us, and the evidence shows. And I think I've talked on our show before, is that really the female brain changes and it becomes stronger, more creative, right? We stop caring about what people think about us. We're focused on our desires and the best that life can offer. It's actually really exciting, and it's really powerful. And that's how I want to age, is excited and looking forward to each new year, and how much stronger can I get and more fulfilled, and what can I do to change the world around me, right?
Yes, 100%. They say like your 50s are your best years. You hear that from so many women.
I believe it.
Yeah, it really is. You start to really feel yourself in your own shoes. If you understand your body, you could turn yourself around, and you can change the way you think, the way you feel, your energy level, everything. We have the control more than we realize. It's, pretty amazing.
100%. Yep, I love that.
Now, when it comes to ageism detox, what's the one line listeners should know about saying to themselves about starting today?
I just love that it's never too late, right? And also, I tell people too, is like, don't try to change your entire life in 1 week. It's not going to happen. So you don't get discouraged. Like, pick a small goal, something doable, right? So like this week, maybe you want to start drinking more water. Anything counts, right? So many of my older patients just don't drink enough water. And so that's something super doable. And the other thing that I really try to build into my practice and my care of women, or even just in my events where I'm teaching, is I have them like close their eyes for a few seconds. It's actually a really powerful exercise. And I have them begin the process of creating a vision for themselves. Like, where do you want to be in 40 years? 30 years. How long do you want to live? And if you want to live that long, what do you want it to look like? 'Cause who cares if you live to 100 if you're not happy, if you're not independent and doing the things you want with your brain still intact, right? So this really is a powerful exercise that women have like, wow, that felt so amazing. Because if you keep that vision strong, that is what is going to be your why. That's gonna what is going to be what keeps you doing the things that are hard, because we as humans are gonna want to revert back to what feels safe, what feels easy, right? And once that motivation, rah, rah, leaves us in the first 2 weeks or whatever, like this is what's gonna keep you going, right? And having those realistic, evidence-based reasons are important. Like, we've all heard the new phrase is strong, not skinny. Like, that's not just like a pithy statement, right? This should be ingrained in each of us women, I think, right? That's what should be motivating us, is like, I'm going to the gym to keep my bones strong. I'm going to the gym to keep my brain and my muscles healthy for 50 more years, right? And so I can get out of the chair when I'm 85 years old without help. And yeah, I think that these are the building blocks to the mindset and to the healthy aging.
Oh, I agree 100%. Now, when it comes to sleep, why is sleep the first, level when it comes to being healthy, like, and go and having healthy aging? What actually changes in sleep as we get older?
Oh, sleep, Stacy, is just the foundation to everything, right? If we are not sleeping well, nothing in our life is going to be right. And this is one of the first symptoms that my perimenopausal women complain about. almost across the board, right? Is I cannot sleep. And so then, obviously, despite just the whole hormone thing, right? Push that aside. If you're not sleeping well, right? You're automatically going to have weight gain and higher cortisol level and mood changes and irritability. And that on top of the hormone fluctuations that are already causing this, like this is a recipe for just really ill health and disaster. And so sleep is one of the first things I tackle with women. And so whether you're like, if you're a good hormone candidate, we're definitely gonna, work on sleep with like progesterone and estrogen. But we're also going to work on sleep habits, right? Because hormones aren't going to get you to go to sleep at the same time every night, right? They're not going to get you to stay off the high stress news and put down the phone, sleep in a cool, dark environment. But also, there's some really other good strategies like magnesium, right? We've all heard magnesium has gotten a really hot moment lately, but it's because it's so incredibly helpful. I think almost everybody sees benefit sleeping from magnesium. It's definitely part of my nightly routine. Sleep is just the foundation to good health. It's just a non-negotiable. You cannot skimp on your sleep and expect to be healthy in other areas of your life. You just can't.
Oh, I agree 100%. I know that when I was going through perimenopause, I would toss and turn. I could be till 5 o'clock in the morning, and then I'm starting to doze off, and then I have to be up like in 3 hours, and then I could feel myself like just dragging and dragging, and then it's like horrible.
And you're not going to want to go to the gym. You're not going to have the energy. And then we
Exactly.
automatically reach for the junk food, what feels good, right? The things that make us feel good, because our bodies are just craving that, like those carbs, the quick, the quick energy. And yeah, it just has a horrible downstream effect.
It really does. It really does. And I think, when you're mentioning the magnesium, that works so well. And then I remember getting this supplement. I was introduced to it. It was magnesium and potassium together, and it would calm me and relax me, and then help me get to that point of calmness, so I could actually close my eyes and feel better. And it wasn't until I actually got on the hormones that I was actually getting a good night's sleep. But that potassium magnesium got me to a level of calmness where I could just relax, and my brain wasn't like going a mile a minute thinking about the things I had to do tomorrow, and not being able to relax.
100%, 100%. And also I want to tell for our listeners here is that the type of magnesium you take matters, right? I usually recommend a magnesium glycinate, very good absorption, very good for relaxation. L-threonate, I have not personally tried, but that can also be very good for relaxing your mind. So if you're one that's having trouble sleeping just because you feel like your mind is worrying, like you can try both of those and just kind of experiment and see which one works for you the best. The other thing that I do, and this is controversial, I know a little bit, I do actually take a small dose of a quick release melatonin because that is a hormone and it's a hormone that does decline in our midlife, just like our other hormones. So I find that that really helps me as well.
It used to help me also. It was so good. It just because we decline as we get older and older, we just eat less and less, and that's the biggest problem, I think. And when it comes to stress physiology, like, what does the chronic stress do to energy, weight, and mood in midlife?
Oh, that's just almost as important as sleep, right? So stress is actually a really good thing in small amounts, right? We want that stress when we have a deadline. We need that stress to get us out the door on time to our jobs and, partaking in sports or whatever, right? But it's when stress is chronic and unrelieved, right? Like when you go home at night and you're still having the stress, or like you can't pay your bills, or just like this chronic underlying stress, you're not turning off your screens and everything. That's when it begins to be unharmful or harmful. And what happens is that our cortisol levels rise, right? And high cortisol then tells our body to hang on to fat, right? It We don't release as much insulin. We hang on to the sugars and our mind. Everything just starts getting a little more exhausted and, most importantly, inflamed. And we can't lose that inflammation. And inflammation really is the root cause of so many chronic diseases, if not all of them, if not the root cause, a huge element of that. And so stress is super important. And what I want to tell like our listeners and my patients, I tell them is like stress management doesn't have to be these huge things. What for me was so life-changing was following small pieces of advice from my therapist and coach, like closing my computer screen during lunch, getting up, walking outside rather than trying to just power through it, work on my charts, bringing a healthy lunch, eating outside, doing a few minutes of meditation. Like I've never really been a huge meditative like practicer, but even just a few minutes can make a big difference. Finding those things, like whatever it looks like for you as a woman, or if there's men listening, whatever it looks like for you, it's going to look differently for everybody, right? A warm bath might be stress relieving for some. Doesn't sound good to other people. Taking a walk, especially in nature. For me, I absolutely love and crave that time right before sleep where I'm just in bed reading with a very dim light on beside me. And I just love it. It totally relaxes me, puts me to sleep. Taking a walk, getting up, super, super important to incorporate those daily habits of stress relief.
Oh, I agree 100%. It is so important. You know, they say 100% of stress causes illness. And like you said, it breaks the walls down of the immune system and it just invites everything to come on in.
It's
And
huge. And for my women who are struggling with hormone symptoms, a lot of this can be related to your hormones. So first and foremost, like I want you to take no blame on yourself at all. Like your chemical changes are very real, and the lack of estrogen or progesterone, testosterone directly impacts our brain, our serotonin, our dopamine, our GABA receptors, and these are what drive these like hormone shifts, right? The serotonin, dopamine are our feel-good hormones. The GABA is rest and relax and sleep. And so really it is super important that yes, we're balancing stress, but also we're treating the root causes of some of these mood changes and stress responses. So, little plug for hormone therapy as well.
I remember when my cortisol level was so high, and I just remember one day walking in and looking in the mirror, and I'd like I got these hips came out from nowhere. I'm like, where the hell did these things come from? I was like, and it was, it's the cortisol. It was the high level of cortisol, that I was experiencing.
And the weight changes are huge with that. Like I was listening to a doctor talk, and one of her patients was on like the highest dose of a GLP-1, the highest dose, right? And it was not budging her an ounce. And they had to do some root cause analysis, and it was because she was so stressed, and her cortisol levels were so high, I think from like stress and sleep. And you're not going to budge that weight either if you're stressed. Like your body just says, no, like I'm stressed. I need this cushion, right? Your body really is quite brilliant, and it's doing things on an evolutionary level that we might not appreciate, but it adapted for a reason. And so it's kind of our job to unpack it.
Oh, I agree. Now, what's a 2-minute nervous system reset we can use between meetings or before bed to help us?
I love this. This is it's easy answer. Deep breath work, right? So simple, so profound. I would have my patients in my office with elevated blood pressure, and I would have them do 4 to 6 deep breaths. And Stacy, I could literally watch their blood pressure go down about 20 points. It really is an inbuilt mechanism that's like as good as a blood pressure medication in times of like high stress, right? It can just calm the nervous system down in 60 seconds. And is that everything we need? No, but that is a great high like emergency, high value tactic. And I would also say just getting outside in nature, right? If you can even just step outside for 10 minutes, go walk around the block if you're feeling stressed. And also, my therapist has worked on like your five senses, like to just calm yourself and ground yourself. What can I see in this moment? What can I smell? What am I feeling, right? What am I tasting anything? And just tuning into those senses can be super, super anxiety lowering.
No, it helps so much. Breath work is so powerful. And sometimes I don't think people even realize how powerful it can be. My aunt used to have, she was in post-menopause and she was prone to panic attacks. And I remember being in the store with her and she started having one. And I just sat her down and I had to do some breath work. And immediately, within like 2 minutes, less than 2 minutes, the panic attack went away. Her calmness level came back and she was fine. It's just breath work is so powerful, so powerful.
So powerful just to ground your body. It just is an amazing relaxation technique.
Yeah, definitely. Now, evenings are good intentions where people like to die down and relax. What's a realistic wind down that works for most busy people?
Like in the evening.
People come home from work, they're all wound up from work, and they've had a long day and they might be tired and feel a little stressed out, and between being tired, between the stress of a long day at work, and what's a nice little reset, that they could do just to kind of get themselves to that level of calmness that we were talking about, besides the breath work.
I love it. I would say move your body, right? You don't have to do anything exhausting, right? Especially if you're just strung out from work. Some people do find relief from a good heavy workout. Anything you can get back into your body, I think, can really reset. So not to just keep harping on taking a walk, but really take a walk, just get outside, right? And grab your partner or, even just grab the kids. If you're feeling like, oh my God, I can't handle this right now. I just got off work and now I have three kids. And like, maybe just all go walk down the street together, right? And I really do think it can reset the family dynamics. It can reset your mind. There's just nothing. So, quite honestly, this afternoon, I was very upset and discouraged because I had worked really hard on an important thing I was doing for my practice on the computer and I lost it all. I was so upset. It was such good work. And it was just this fluky, stupid thing I did, not saving it as I was going. And so I just had to get outside. And so I was like, well, I got to get some movement in anyway. I have to step away from the computer. I cannot see redoing this right now. And so, I just went outside. I took a walk. I had my headphones in, which I don't always recommend, but I was like, I'm just going to listen to something. It was just wonderful. Some of it was on just like being grateful and practicing gratitude. I was like, yes, I can be grateful for this. I can redo the work. It'll be better the next time. And just stepping away was huge for me, though. I could feel my body just changing, my mindset changing as I walked.
I love walking. I think it's so beneficial. I had a friend who she loved to go and take walks, and she used to walk around the lake, and she used to go around twice, and then she'd come home, and she actually lost weight doing that too. It not only did it relax her and wind her down, it actually she lost weight from doing it on a daily basis, just walking around the lake that she had in her area that she lived in, and she dropped weight too.
Absolutely. It's so good on every level. Every level. Yes, I love it. It's a cure-all. Well, not
It's a
really, but
cure-all.
it
Yeah,
almost
I know what you mean.
is.
Yeah. You coach clients to create a vision, not just goals. Like, what makes a powerful future for your vision?
I think analyzing your core values, right? And really taking time with it. And it's okay if they evolve. It's okay if your vision changes, but knowing what your three to five core values are. Is it relationships, a strong mind, independence, right? Those are going to then form the foundation for your vision for yourself, right? So really taking some time with it and making it really personal to you. Like, do you have Are you expecting to have grandkids? Are you wanting to be strong for them? And, or, do you love your job and you just want to keep doing it forever? And what are, the relationships are such an important piece of it too. But yeah, I think really defining what your values are. And then an important part of like living through this vision is like an honest self-assessment of where you're starting now. Don't fool yourself, right? If you can't do one push-up right now, well, write that down, right? Like really analyzing where you're starting from mentally, physically, emotionally, and then you can watch yourself grow and being accountable to somebody. Like we talked about before, is like we're not going to want to keep doing something that's hard. So having that accountability system in place, having that vision in place is really, really crucial for sticking with a plan for longevity and health.
Yes, for sure. Oh, that's so important. Now, what's your 90-day vitality sprint like? Sleep, strength, mobility, and meaning?
Maybe rephrase the question a little bit.
Sure. So, what's your like 90-day plan? So, if we're on a like a 3-month thing, and you wanted to really improve your sleep, your strength, your mobility, and your the way you perceive life, like what like kind of like advice would you give people to kind of get themselves like we talked about like just like beginning, but like what kind of plan can they construct for themselves? Maybe set goals and certain things they should actually maybe put down on paper and try to create that new lifestyle for themselves.
Yeah, I love it. So honestly, I want to give a big shout out to Dr. Vonda Wright, and her book Unbreakable is really actually where it has helped change my practice and my own life. And it's really a plan that I base a lot of my recommendations to my patients on. So definitely check that book out, audiobook. Her podcast is amazing as well. But really, what you want to build into your life, like let's say we're talking about a middle-aged woman, right? Because that's basically my patient population, is let's start with a deep dive into your biggest concerns, because that's important, right? Is knowing what is bothering you the most. And then let's optimize your hormones if we can. If you're a good candidate for hormone therapy, it's something that you're interested in. That to me is one of the most critical foundations, because it can be the root cause for a lot of what's going on elsewhere in your life, right? If you're not feeling well and you're inflamed and your joints hurt, you can't work out. You can't, you're not going to feel like doing the things that you need to do. So let's optimize your hormones. That actually can be a somewhat fast process for some women. In other women, it may take a couple months to figure out just the right, dosage and therapies we want to do. But while we're doing that, I'm also going to recommend that you really prioritize sleep. So if that's the first thing we need to focus on, and that's all you can focus on, yeah, you focus on sleep, the magnesium, the good sleep hygiene, the progesterone, if that's a candidate or a therapy for you. And then I would just start building these healthy habits into your life. So Dr. Vonda Wright, I love what she says. She builds like the four pillars into her plan for longevity, right? So exercise is one of them. I want you to start building these foundations of exercise. She has an acronym she calls FACE. So the first one is flexibility and mobility. The second is aerobics. C is carrying a load or strength training. And then E is going to be your like balance, your equilibrium and foot speed. And so she goes into all of these different practices. I would want you to start building all of these into your life, right? You don't need to be a pro at all of them, right? Do 5 minutes of stretching. And then go do some weightlifting. And if you don't know how to weightlift, get a trainer for a few sessions to analyze your form so you don't injure yourself, right? Just start building all of these into your life. And even the balance can be super easy. Like just stand on one leg while you're brushing your teeth. You don't need to go crazy. Just start building small things into your life. And then nutrition is going to be a huge part of your 90-day plan, right? You want to start working towards 80% of your diet being unprocessed foods. It's so important, your whole grains, your variety of plant products, your healthy fats, omega-3s are huge, huge, huge. Those are one of my non-negotiables for my patients. And really building that hydration and your protein into your diet. Most women do not get enough protein to maintain muscle mass and build muscle mass. And then, the lifestyle, we've talked about that. The foundation of lifestyle is just really, really important. So I would honestly, I know that wasn't like maybe the concrete answer you're looking for, but it's really incorporating all of these principles and really trying for consistency without perfection, because you're never going to be perfect in all of those. But if you can really start to build consistency into your life, like for me, one way I, can do my water is by carrying a water jug around with me. It's just building those little things. There you go, right? I love it. Yours is all blinged out. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah.
Well, I know that I have to, if I didn't drink enough of water, if that thing isn't gone. So it's like my goal is to make sure that I drink that whole thing by the end of the night. It has to be done. And great. If I refill it, that's like a bonus plus.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm the same way. Yep, absolutely.
Now, if movement that matters, like for aging well, like when we think about like movement so important for us, like if listeners did only two things, what should those two things be? Now, you really emphasize a lot on walking, so I would assume walking is one of them.
I love walking. I would say one of two things you absolutely have to be doing as a middle-aged woman into really the rest of your life is strength training and heavy lifting. Heavy lifting, ladies. Like most women are not working out hard enough in the gym. And this doesn't have to be complicated. Really, you only need a few core moves, and you need to be lifting heavy, and you need to be progressively lifting. Because this is not to kill you. This is so that your muscles are pulling against your bones. That is what keeps your bones strong. If you don't have enough resistance, you're not going to build muscle, you're not going to build bone. And that is a huge critical part of healthy aging for women, is maintaining our bones and our muscles. So yeah, heavy lifting, and then I would say cardio, right? Like 80% of your cardio can be walking, fast walking. And then 20%, you really do want to activate your heart into like a high zone, like sprints or sprints on a bicycle or jump roping or something. But honestly, the majority of it can be grab a girlfriend and go for a walk, right? Kill two birds with one stone, So yeah, great question though. Heavy lifting, ladies.
And when we get older, or if we don't use it, our muscles start to deteriorate fast. So, and I don't think
Huge.
people realize that. That's a huge thing. Yeah, for sure.
And it's called sarcopenia, and that actually is an entire independent category risk factor for mortality. Many, many older people die simply because they get so weak, and then they get prone to injuries and falls, and yeah.
Exactly. Now, like for food, what is one simple upgrade for steadier energy or for better sleep that someone can start tonight? What's one change that they could do?
Yeah, I love talking about this. Add fiber to your diet. When you add fiber, it's not just to help you poop regularly, it is actually feeding the microbiome, which affects everything in your body. There is huge microbiome, bone axis, brain axis. We are talking to our body systems are talking to each other. So increase your fiber, because not only are you then increasing that health of your gut, but you're also by default probably eating more fruits and vegetables and whole grains. So you really want to try for more fiber. And then just, of course, by default, that will mean you're having a more unprocessed diet.
And it's so important. The food industry, we could talk about this another day, but so corrupt. And so many people, even when they do those healthy meals in the frozen section, people are eating those and they're thinking, oh, I'm being healthy,
Yeah,
and
so processed.
And what your body doesn't know what to do with it, it stores it, and we build up all those toxins, in our body, and that's what corrupts our organs and starts, throwing off our whole balance in our body. And it's terrible.
So I agree. Like the unprocessed food, I just can't stress it enough, right? It is so easy to grab food that's been processed, but and that's okay every once in a while, right? No, yeah, no food is evil. It's just like, what's the majority of your consumption, right?
Exactly. Everything in moderation, that's the key. Now, how do the connection and purpose protect the brain?
So the connection with the purpose for our lives is huge, right? Because it keeps us positive. I think it keeps us grounded in what is real, keeps us grateful. And back to just the mindset of aging is like if we're positive and we're grateful, it's going to feed those circuits in our brain and our body that are natural stress reducers. And I think that's why it's just like so amazing for our health. And they talk about being happy and having relationships, right? The hugest study on happiness that was cross generations, right? Released by Harvard just a little bit ago, showed that the quality of our relationships was the highest indicator of happiness. I mean, how gorgeous is that, right? Like that is, it's so beautiful. And spending time with your girlfriends and people that you love can extend your life by years. So finding that purpose, finding that, like they've shown, like people that are active and volunteering and have found their purpose through that have such a rich life and they live longer and they're doing things, they're more active and their brains are sharp. And yeah, I love it. I just like get so fired up talking about this. It's just terribly inspiring to me as a person, but also like as a practitioner and treating people.
No, it's huge. How we train our brain, how we think, putting ourselves in happy situations instead of negative situations, it really plays a big role. You could just look at like some of the statistics when people lose a spouse, like in their older age, there's been many cases where there's like a 6 month span and then the other spouse passes away, because the grief and it's the mindset, the sadness, instead of focusing on trying to, grief, you never get over losing somebody. But if you focus on that and you don't try to change your mindset a little bit and you try, and it deteriorates your mind, the way you think can deteriorate your body and just make you to that point where, it could destroy.
Having a purpose in life is huge, and the evidence really bears that out.
Oh, 100%. Now, when it comes to midlife, like if you keep waking up at 3 a.m. in the morning, what should you do? For those women out there that keep waking up and they're not getting that good night's sleep, it's really light. They wake up, they look at the alarm clock. Oh God, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's like, what do you do? Do you have any suggestions?
Absolutely. So first of all, the women that are waking up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, that's very classic hormone deprivation, hormone fluctuations, right? So first of all, is going to be hormone optimization. If you can't or don't want to take hormones, then there are some things you can do. So there's cognitive behavioral therapies. It's been very, very helpful and been shown to be a very science-backed way of helping with sleep issues. But also, you don't want to just stay in bed stressing about the fact that you can't go to sleep, because that trains your brain and your body that your bed is not like for sleep. It's going to be associated with like the stress response. So really, the best way, if you can't go back to sleep, get up. And actually, this can be something that many people experience, is like what's called the two sleeps, right? Is something our bodies or society have really kind of forgotten about. But get up and do something calming, right? Whether it's go out to the couch, maybe get a glass of warm milk or a cup of hot tea, read something. One practitioner that I was listening to, she said, like, she goes out to the kitchen actually, and she just quietly, she turns on a dim light and quietly prepares her meals for the next day. She just kind of takes it in stride. But I think the more we stress about not being able to go to sleep, right, the more we can't go to sleep. But first and foremost, if you're a midlife woman, let's optimize your hormones. Another reason, Stacy, that I forgot to mention that is huge, is women who are waking up at 2 o'clock in the morning, Make sure it's not because of alcohol intake. Alcohol becomes a stimulant after a few hours and it can wake you up very classically around 1, 2, or 3 in the morning. So I
Wow.
tell my ladies, like, if you're having alcohol, then make sure that you're having it several hours, at least 4 hours before you're going to bed,
Right.
because it will rebound on you. So that's a huge thing that I think deserves attention.
I bet you a lot of people didn't even know that, that it turns into a stimulant, Most people get so tired after they have like a glass of wine or something, you don't even think about that.
Definitely, definitely huge for my ladies. We'll have that conversation. And yeah, even I was having lunch with my aunt the other day, and she has always had like a little champagne and like Aperol, and now she's having sleep problems due to other things. And I was like, yeah, maybe you need to have that earlier in the day if you're still going to do that. And she's like, oh, that's going to be really hard. I was like, I know, but just try.
I love it. I love it. Now, when it comes to menopause and perimenopause, like what's one mindset and one habit that helps?
I would say prioritizing yourself,
Okay, that's a good answer. I like that.
right, is really stop putting yourself last. You're going to be a much better version of yourself, a much better partner and mom if you're a mother, if you're really prioritizing yourself and having those honest conversations with your partner and realizing what your needs are and expressing that, right? Hey, honey, like I just need an hour to myself every evening. You don't even have to give excuses, right? Like, just this is what I need to be the best version of myself. And I don't know. I hope that's not like a lame answer, but that's my answer.
I like that. I think most people don't prioritize themselves. They focus on their family. They focus on their job. They focus on pleasing people. They focus on this one, that one. And the last person they take care of is themselves. And you can't take care of other people and, and do good things when you can't, you're not 100% and you're not caring for yourself first.
I agree 100%. And that's what it kind of took for me, was really to prioritize myself and my health and to find that balance again. And thankfully, I have a super supportive partner, right? And he takes care of the little one a lot and gives me the space that I need. And we're a good partnership.
I love it. I love it. Now, sleeps, like when taking naps, are they helpful or harmful? Some people are like, I can't take a nap in the middle of the day, or it's going to make me feel worse, and if some people are like, yeah, I take a nap in the middle of the day and I feel great. It's like every day, nonstop. I know people like clockwork. They take that midnight afternoon nap and they feel like brand new. And then other people, they're just like, oh, can't do this. It makes me feel horrible.
So I think the answer is both and. Like, a short nap has been shown to be very beneficial, like a short power nap, nothing over like 30 minutes. And then, probably not too late in the day. But I think if you're getting into really long naps, that's when it can be problematic with, sleep later on.
Now, so Helen, listeners were promised 5 concrete actions. Like, what 5 things can they do this week to get more energy and feel more at ease?
Okay, so 5 concrete actions. So, of course, I'm going to say prioritize your sleep, right? You want to start really having a bedtime schedule. Try to go to bed and wake up at the same time as best as possible. Being a parent to a toddler, I know that that, right, might sound ridiculous, but just as it fits into your lifestyle. So that's number one. Number two, for more energy, a very easy one is to increase hydration. Right. So start your morning with a big glass of water. Keep hydrating throughout the day. Number three is going to be optimizing your nutrition. Right. If you're used to eating more processed foods, try just swapping out one meal a day with unprocessed food, and then number four, I would say, is really prioritizing some high quality supplements. Like, I don't, like I said before, I'm not going to tell you to go buy 10 or 12 different supplements. There's just a few that I feel are important. I do like a good quality multivitamin just to kind of fill in the gaps. I recommend to all of my patients a high quality omega-3, about 2.5 to 3 grams. The magnesium is very beneficial. If you're a midlife woman, I also want you to be on adequate amount of calcium and vitamin D, either through your diet with the calcium or both. And so that can make a big difference in energy levels, right? And then, of course, movement. It sounds almost counterintuitive, but actually moving your body will give you just so much energy rather than sitting there. If you have an office job and you're sitting on your butt all day, get up and move every hour. Do some squats, walk around the office. It can bring so much more energy and just even clarity if you're using your mind all day, right? So I think that was five.
It was. So tell everybody about your services and what you provide.
So I am a menopause provider. But I don't strictly just do menopause. So I focus on women in midlife, perimenopause, menopause, but also women who might be younger or older with hormonal imbalances or even that just are really craving lifestyle guidance, right? Kind of like what you just asked me. Maybe they're not ready for hormones. Maybe they're not a good candidate, but they're like, hey, Helen, how do I age well, right? How can I protect my bones? So important. And so that's what I do. I start with like a 60 to 75 minute consult where we do a deep dive into your history, which they've already sent me, the patients, right? We're going to get into your biggest concerns, your biggest symptoms, and then we're going to do follow-up visits as needed and really work on hormones. We're going to really optimize your hormones as the focus. And then, of course, building what we've talked about in the last half an hour is that foundation for optimal longevity.
I love it. I love it. Now, where can people find you?
They can find me on social media, Helen Stearns, DNP. I'm all over social media. You can find me on my website, helenstearnsdnp.com. Message me. I love hearing from you. If you don't live in California, then I can't treat you at this point, but I could certainly provide wonderful resources for providers that are in your area. I'm connected to really great networks of people. Happy to do that. Happy to help you find someone who really knows what they're doing in the menopause space.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Well, this has been amazing, Helen. You're just a world of information, and I thank you so much for
Oh,
coming on the show
thank
today.
you.
I think it's so important that women understand their options because you go through menopause, it could be really challenging. And and sometimes a lot of people don't even know what's going on. And some people are afraid of change. They're afraid what's going to happen. Is this okay? They hear all different types of things on the internet. They don't know what's true, what's not. I think it's so important to actually go to a nurse practitioner or someone in the field that specializes in hormone and midlife, and that way they get the help they need. Because one thing I find that really irritates me is they have so many things over the counter now, and you really that you can get build get better testosterone, you could do this, you could do that, but you really have to be monitored by some by somebody, and you have to really have you have to have medical support and have somebody who's well educated in the field watching you if you're going to do hormones or if you're going to help change your body and balance your hormones. You really have to have someone there that's going to know guide you along the way and give you the proper guidance and help.
And so much of that stuff at best is a waste of money. And at worst, it can do more harm than good. So it is absolutely critical, right, that you have somebody advising you. And just because something natural is, it doesn't mean it's harmless, right? And you can be doing actually a lot of weird things to your body by, if you don't know what you're doing in the herbal space or the natural space, right? So just a little shout out there to really, talk to someone who can give you the evidence-based treatment.
Like I could say, like, Estrogen alone can, controls over 500 things in your body. So when you're playing around and with these over-the-counter things, and if you're elevating things and you don't know what you're elevating and it's not balanced, you could do a lot of damage to your body if you're not,
Yes.
if you don't have somebody who knows what they're doing and watching over you and getting the right blood work and having somebody, guide you along the way. So yeah, I think that's a really important shout out to people because I see too much of that on the counter nowadays and it really irritates the hell out of me.
Yes, 100%.
Well, this has been wonderful, Helen. I thank you so much for being on the show once again, and you are just amazing. And I look forward to talking to you soon. Thank
Oh,
you so much.
thank you, Stacy. Thank you. Have a wonderful evening.
Oh, you too. You too.